The scripture reading is found in 1 Samuel 7, verses 3 to 12. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now, when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Pray with me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Today we are marking a major milestone in the history of the church. Today we remember the 506th anniversary of Martin Luther posting his 95 theses on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. Today, Tuesday was actually Reformation Day, but today we will mark the Reformation. Luther was an obscure monk, pastor, and scholar who, through study of God's Word, found problems in the way the church was representing, teaching, and ignoring important biblical truths. He posted 95 propositions to open a discussion which he believed would call the church to reform itself and come into alignment with the Bible's truth. By the way, he did that the last day of October, because November 1st is All Saints Day, or All Hallows Day, and the night before would be called Hallowed Eve, and you know what that led to. But of course, the Reformation that Luther hoped for didn't happen. And so today we have a variety of flavors of the Protestant denominations. If you were Roman Catholic, you would want to pronounce that protest ant. In the end, one issue above all others stands out related to Luther. It is the hallmark of the Reformation. Luther brought to the forefront of debate the central theme of the Bible. Luther found in his Bible study, salvation came to man not through cash payment for sin or through so-called good works. You could not apply the bounty of some saint's alleged merits to your sorry soul. Salvation, Luther identified, was only available through Christ's meritorious work and could only be applied in one way, faith alone. Gathered here today, you are blessed by the truth of God's provision, namely salvation is attained by Jesus Christ, God's Son, your Savior alone. You have been freed from the bondage of the church that the church placed upon its members to pay and pay and pay, work and work and work to gain salvation, which cannot be obtained by man's money or his so-called good works. Gathered today on this remembrance in humble but exuberant joy, you celebrate that you are sinners. Sinners saved by grace through faith alone. You rest assured in this salvation because you have turned to God's Word, this Bible, this infallible Word of God, God breathed, the source of what is necessary for life and godliness alone. Rejoice in this milestone. This milestone honoring Martin Luther, but in the deepest gratitude to Almighty God for His grace in making His truth plain. It's an anniversary which has benefited you. The Reformation marked a crucial turn in man's history. It let loose the freedom you gained through Christ. It unleashed the tide that, among other things, led to the settlement of this country and the culture that led to Western civilization and the many advances that came out of that for mankind, not the least of which is education for the masses. The Reformation opened the pages of the Bible to the common man, so reading became critical, a critical skill to Christians. Thank God for this and all the benefits you have received as a result, but especially for the biblical truth of justification by faith alone, through Christ's life, death, and resurrection alone, for the authority of the Bible alone, for the truth of God's grace being sufficient for your salvation alone, and for the purpose of God's glory alone. It is a milestone of immense proportions. Thank God for raising up Martin Luther and many others who brought the Reformation about, some at the cost of their lives. The Bible speaks of milestones also. In fact, it seems stones are an item in the Scripture, from cornerstones to stumbling blocks. From the earliest times recorded in the Bible, there is record of the setting up of stones to act as memorials, remembrances of some significant event. Jacob set up a stone at Bethel on two occasions. The first when he had his vision of the ladder to heaven. The second at a later time when he recalled this event and the time he wrestled with God. Again, when Joshua led the Israelites across the Jordan River, he had a man from each tribe erect a stone. For Jacob and Joshua, the memorial stones would recall God's mercy and grace, His help to them in a time of need. With this history for erecting stones, it should not surprise you that Samuel, on the occasion of Israel's defeat of the Philistines, sets up a stone as a memorial. It should not surprise you that this stone does not perpetuate the memory of some stunning military maneuver by Israel. The fact was, this day was won by the help of God. And this is what the stone commemorated. To this point, God had helped, and therefore its name, Ebenezer. Ebenezer comes to us in English by transliteration, an English letter for a Hebrew one. The actual translation of the word means stone of help. And so it was, a stone to recall God's help. Ebenezer, stone of help. What message does it hold for you? What can you learn from it and from those who erected it? Our scripture lesson set the scene. Israel turning from idolatry to the true worship of Almighty God. They're gathering together in repentance, fasting, prayer, and sacrifice. The Philistines plan to attack. Israel's fear, God's help, and Israel's victory. A familiar story, one which is fundamentally repeated many times in the Bible. So common in many ways, yet uncommon in its application for you. Those with Samuel knew what this stone meant. They were a defeated nation. Likely they would never have mustered themselves to fight the Philistines. However, to worship and serve the true God, they did gather. God, in his infinite wisdom, took that occasion to show them that with his help, they could defeat their enemies, those who did not serve the true God. So on this day, he has the battle joined. When mentally unprepared, almost demobilized in fear, Israel, with God's help, defeats the Philistines. God had helped them. He had helped them out of the misery of idolatry. He had helped them out of the results of idolatry. He had helped them to overcome their sins. In a time of fear, he helped to overcome fear and the enemy. God gave them the victory. Victory over powers and principalities. This far the Lord had helped them. To this great victory, God had helped. Beyond the boundaries of their limitations, God had helped. The very gates of hell could not withstand the progress of those Israelites with God's help. This was a victory like they had never known. This was trust in God for his help like they had never experienced. Yet Samuel knew they would forget. They would retreat from their trust in God. They would neglect the worship of God and allow sin and idolatry to re-enter their lives. So Samuel raises that Ebenezer, and he declares, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. This far the Lord has helped us." Consider how far that was. He brought Abraham to the promised land and formed a people for himself. He saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. He restored them to their promised land. He raised up judges to govern them. And now this most recent event, he helped them to defeat their enemies, idolatry, sin, and the Philistines. He had helped them to this point. The stone called this help to mind. The stone was raised to help them to remember the God of help, the God of hope. The stone remained standing. Neglected and forgotten, it remained a memorial to God's help. Once forgotten, though, it took another significance. It was a stumbling block, a nuisance, something to make you feel guilty for departing the God of help. It became something to be ignored, not celebrated. God had helped. That was what it said to those who forgot the God of help, but they no longer trusted his help. They had forgotten his help. Samuel's Ebenezer was only a symbol of hope when remembered. When it was forgotten, so was the source of hope, the God of help. I've raised another Ebenezer today, the one which recalls the Reformation. The circumstances were similar. There was a turning to the true worship and service of God from the idolatry of Rome. There was an enemy, and there was fear. Yet with God's help, the victory was gotten. Fear was overcome and memorialized in those reported words of courage that Luther spoke, "Here I stand. I can do no other." Luther raised this Ebenezer for you. As long as you remember it and continue to love and long for all the Reformation has given you, you have the hope which the stone of help promises. But when you do not, the hope vanishes and the fear returns. How easy it is to neglect this Bible, which has been put in your hands, and the freedom you have to read it, mark it, and study it for yourselves, and not be left to the interpretation and tradition of a few. But it sits unopened, not read, not memorized, not studied, not meditated upon for days, weeks, and even years at a time. The ignorance of most Christians regarding the Bible is astounding, and none, I can say very well, know it as well as it should be known, and I'll stand first in that line. Consider, since Bible reading has been removed from public schools, I'll give those a minute who didn't know that that was the way it was. It was that way. It was, in fact, mandated you had to read the Bible in public schools. But since it has been removed from public schools, biblical literacy has done nothing but drop. It's sad that reading the Bible in public schools even had any measurable impact on biblical literacy, let alone such a major one. No wonder we face the issues which threaten our Christian heritage. No wonder our Christian faith is belittled, called intolerant, and worse. No wonder we are despised and marginalized by so many in our society. Here it is. What you do with this will affect this church, this community, this country, and beyond. Read the Bible and apply the Bible to your life and tell others its truth, and God will help. He will lead you to establish milestone after milestone. Ignore it, remain ignorant of its teaching, its truth, and there will be no hope and no help. It's up to you. It's not up to others. Luther's Ebenezer, Reformation Day, is a hope only as long as it is remembered, not just for a service, but for every moment that you live. You will either bless God for raising it up, or you will stumble over it and curse it for causing you to feel guilty about the neglect of the blessings God gave you by His help. Hitherto, this far, the Lord has helped you. Now, this is only one of the milestones marked today. Each Sunday marks another milestone. Every Sunday recalls another stone. It is the stone rolled away from Christ's tomb. It is the greatest milestone in history. It is the milestone that tells you Christ is risen. It tells you all He accomplished in His earthly life. Every moment He suffered from His conception through His death. Every indignity that He endured. Every burden that He carried. Every sin's penalty that He paid. Every wound and pain inflicted on His body and His integrity. Every lie spoken about Him. Every accusation falsely made. Every humiliation spat at Him. Every betrayal and denial of His true being by friend and foe. Being forsaken by His Father and dying a horrible death on Calvary's cross, which gained the satisfaction of God's wrath, justly bought there for your redemption, if you believe these things. Because death did not hold Him captive. He did not experience corruption. Rather, He rose from the dead and the stone was rolled away to show the world the tomb was empty. This is the great milestone that we remember every Sunday. That milestone led to one more. There's another Ebenezer today. It involves this church. It is a stone raised in testimony of God's help. Acts 26 tells the account of Paul standing before Festus and Agrippa and recounting all that had happened to him and the message he had to proclaim. It's about 23 verses, and so I decided not to read it today, but I ask you to read it sometime today. And then you can say with Paul, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." You can look at this building as a testimony of God's help. You can see it as a hope that God will help you still. Or you can see it not as full as it once was, as a sign of failure and a witness to a lack of faith and exercise, and the exercise of faith present when this monument to God's help and glory was raised. Paul shows you the way. Even with all against him at that moment, Paul was not defeated. His faith had not failed. His testimony was, "God had helped me this far, and He will help me still." Amazingly, though a prisoner in Rome, not long after his arrival, he found ways to preach the gospel, and he penetrated with that message the very household of Caesar, so that the saints in Caesar's household sent their greetings to other believers. a monument to God's faithfulness and Paul's faith. Surely Paul's circumstances were far more extreme than your own. Paul kept building. He made progress with God's help. He raised Ebenezers. Just as surely you have hope of God's help for the future of his church and for your church. You have but to see the Ebenezer raised in testimony of his help and to call on his help once again. Let it challenge you with God's help to face the tomorrows of this church and your commitment to this work. Yes, there are challenges. Hard decisions may be necessary. There is an enemy, but God can and will provide victory if you will gather as the Israelites, confess your sins, and follow God's word in the battle for men's hearts and souls. It is a stone the leaders and members of this church must see and rally around, or you will stumble over it and fall on your face. Trust in God's help. Hope in God's help. Fight on with God's help. Take victory after victory with God's help. Raise markers of God's help. Show and tell of the gain God has given you in your trust of his help. Read your Bible. Follow its teachings for your church and your life. Pray for God's help. Don't neglect any opportunity to learn how to trust in the help of God. It is the God of help, the God of hope that will retain, reclaim, restore, and rebuild. Remember the Ebenezer, the stone that marks the help and advance God gives. This church's Ebenezer, that testimony of God's help, is a sense each of your Ebenezers. It belongs to you corporately, but it is not yours individually. In a real sense, you can say the same about Luther's Ebenezer, Reformation Day. But it is to Samuel's Ebenezer that you must turn to find your own individual Ebenezer. Here is what this event gives you in your Christian experience: to know God better, to serve God better, to love God better. It's not a different message, but it is a personal message. It is this: God has been your help. He has helped you to this point. He has given you victory over enemies and defeated your foes. Consider how he has helped you. Like the Israelites of Samuel's day, you have lived in unrepentant sin at some point in your life. God has redeemed you from a life of sin. He has redeemed you from a life of idolatry, as he did the Israelites. He has helped you overcome your fears. He has given you the stone rolled away from the tomb and all that it represents. Like the Israelites of old, you have gathered together to worship this wonderful God. Not in your perfection, but in your imperfection. God would heal you and help you this day as he did those who gathered at Samuel's beckoning. Here, gathered for his worship, he would give you victory over your enemies. Galatians 5 gives us examples of those enemies. Now the work of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Here, repentant of those things and seeking to serve God, each of you raises your Ebenezer, your stone of testimony to God's help. Hitherto, thus far, the Lord has helped you. You know, you are like those ancient Israelites, however. You are prone to wander, to depart the God of help. Your Ebenezer becomes a nuisance. You trip over it and you wish you had never raised it. It reminds you that you are not remembering the God of help, that you are not the Christian you ought to be. Therefore, you must heed the message of the Ebenezer. You must acknowledge it and all that it stands for when you see it. It is the stone of help, God's hope, help. And so it is also the one of hope. On this Reformation Sunday, remembering those who lived and died to give you the benefits of a biblical faith, an Ebenezer of particular importance comes to my mind. It comes from the English Reformation, which raised many Reformation monuments of courage and determination to establish biblical faith in England. Fox lists 384 martyrs for a biblical faith. It isn't Ebenezer, the one I'm thinking of, a monument raised for you by two faithful to Christ. Two who remembered the stone which marked Christ's resurrection and told of his sacrifice for you and the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. It is a reminder of what faith may cost and the reward God always gives faith. I speak of early English bishops Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley, men probably most of you have never heard of. They would not forget the God of help. They refused to renounce biblical doctrine and embrace the errors of a church that had left the Bible's truth behind. So they were sentenced to death, burning at the stake. On October 16th, 1555, as they were chained back to back to the stake, and as the fire was lit, Bishop Latimer spoke to Bishop Ridley and said, "Be of good comfort, Mr. Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." They raised an Ebenezer. They knew and trusted God, the God of help. They knew there was hope for the church even in the darkest hour of England's history. They expected their faith to be rewarded, that God would win the battles and give the victory. And he did, and has in the most spectacular ways. God is the God of help and hope. You see, their candle, whether you knew them or not, or ever heard of them or not, their candle has not gone out. You and you and you and you, you are the proof. If they had not died in the battle for Protestantism, for biblical truth in England, you would not be here today. Their candle, their Ebenezer, burns in you. Hitherto, thus far, God has helped.